Okay, so to Mishnah Tess. Perk Alf Mishnah Tess, yeah? All right, so yesterday we had a Torah from Yehuda ben Taboi that, again, the Pashtus, he was talking to Dayanim and how Dayanim should deal with the Din Torah that comes their way. They shouldn't be Karcha Dayonim, how they should view the litigants that are in front of them. So Mishnah Tess is Shim Ben Shetach. He continues with that theme again, the Pashtas. So again, Mishnah Tess, Shim Ben Shetach Omer, Shim Ben Shetach said, Havi Mar Belach Garasa Eden. Again, write their instructions to the Dayan, that the Dayan should, they have to interrogate the Eden very much. They shouldn't be satisfied with just preliminary questions. They have to They should investigate and interrogate the Eidim very much. And even in that investigation, they should be very careful with their words. In other words, even the way they ask a question, you don't want to lead on the person as if you're sort of like trying to tilt them towards a particular end. So you have to be very careful. So you have to ask a lot of questions, but the person has to be very conscious in how they're asking. So, like for example, the Bar Tanur on the side, he says, "Havizar b'dvarecha," right? You should be careful with your words. Shloyom Ardain, the Dain shouldn't say. He shouldn't ask the question. Shema kach v'kach ha'yamai. He said, "Did this and this happen?" In other words, you want to just sort of be very neutral and very pariv and make the person say everything that they need to say, not lead them on. And so on and so forth. That's Havizor V'Tverecha. The Mishnah ends. Shem V'Toicham, because again, maybe without being careful with the words, maybe the words that you'll say, Yil Medu L'Shaker, the witnesses that you're interrogating will learn how to lie. And so you have to be careful with that. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Pashut is talking about Dayanim. Like everything else, right? It's every word of Chazal has to be talking to every single yid at all times. So what does it mean for us? So let's see the Kamarna. So by Tess, yeah? Havimar B'Lach Gerasa Edim. That you have to interrogate the Edom very much. What are these Edom for us? Heim Yetzer Tov Yetzer Ra. It means one's own Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Now, we'll see in a second. In this context, we usually think Yetzer Tov means the voice that says do a mitzvah. Yetzer Hara means the voice that says do an avera. But it's more subtle than that. Yetzer Tov in this context, he's referring to maybe more subtle voice. Yetzer Tov means the voice that says to be involved with something that's more ruchniistic, which you would think is a mitzvah. And Yetzer Tov means the voice that's telling you to do something that's more gashmi, which usually is, we associate with avera, but right, Yetzer Hara. So you'll see Yetzer Hara, yeah. So he says like this, these are the Edom. Ushneim tzrichen chakir b'dika. And both of them need thorough investigation. In other words, don't just trust it on the face value. Maisa mitzvah shel Yetzer Tov. The mitzvahs that the Yetzer Tov is trying to convince you to do, that needs investigation. Im yesh ben nidnud erev machsheves pigel. Maybe there's some negative motivations or thoughts that you're putting into that. Now, obviously, again, motivation's a hin, motivation's a hair. Mitzvahs that a person's obligated to do, you're obligated to do. So it's not a matter of, I'm not going to chas v'shalom daven shachris until I clarify, until I interrogate that witness very, very much. You have to have in chakras. It is what it is. It's like there's a maisa with the Baal Tanya. Yid once came to Baal Tanya, and he was saying his problem is that he has a restaurant that's his parnasa, and Baruch Hashem, he does a lot of tzedakah with the restaurant. He has people come in that can't afford, but a lot of people have credit, whatever it is, he knows not a tab, right? But he knows not that they're not going to pay. He does a lot of chesed. So what's the problem? His question to Baal Tanya was that he's not sure about his motivations. It could be that his motivations are not so lishma. Maybe it's for other reasons, whatever the case may be, to feel good, to impress other people, whatever, there might be a lot of shlo lishma. So Baal Tanya listened, Baal Tanya thought, and Baal Tanya said, could be. But so you could ask Akasha, you could shlug up all your good motivations, but you can't shlug up the bowl of soup. You know what I'm saying? Like the bowl of soup that the poor person is actually eating, that you can't shlug that up. So, at the end of the day, with all the chakirs and the drishas, that's what I said. If you're talking about something which is not a mitzvah per se, and it's just that you think it's the right thing to do, so So then you could, then again, just because it's more spiritual in nature doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right thing. So you have to figure out your motivations. But the point is that things that are coming from the Yetzer Tov, just because, you know, it still needs a lot of investigations. Again, not always does that mean not to do it until it's investigated. Like I said, the bowl of soup you have to do. But sometimes not. You know, let's say there's certain chumras, right? If a person wants to take on a chumra, right? So it's a chumra, whatever, you know, it doesn't have to be, it's something that you don't have to do, something that halacha says is not necessary. So now it's coming from you would think it's coming from the Yetzer Tov. Investigate it. Do chakiras and drishas. Again, is there ever going to be an absolute clarification that there's absolutely nothing that's shloi lishma? No. But overall, is the general, you know, what's the general motivation? What's the, you know, are you going to do it the same, you know, I'll give a silly example. A person wants to take on a chumra, you want to wear a gartel or something by davening. But you're only going to wear a gartel when you're davening with other people. It's like, okay, so it might not be such a, if you want to take a chumra and you're going to do it the same way in Chadri Chadorim, like in a, you know, when it's just you and the Rabbanu Shalom, like you do it the same way that everyone else, okay, then maybe it's Lashma. But if a person takes on a chumra, but it's only with Ne'am Ve'eda in front of other people, then okay, then it seems that witness got caught in a lie, right? So it got caught in a lie. Is this Chachma? Huh?
Is this,
what do you mean?
Is this
to discern something is more bina. That's more to the idea, the idea that the Yetzer Tov comes with. And again, it doesn't mean that it's really the Yetzer Hara. It doesn't mean that's the Yetzer Hara, but it just means it has to be worked through. It has to be sifted out. You know what I'm saying? So because everything is, since Adam and Chava, everything is mixed up with some negativity. So it doesn't mean it's bad. Again, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't mean that it's not a good idea. It just means that you just have to work it out. Just work it out. There's like, you know, you have to work out the details. That's all. But then it doesn't mean not to do it. Like I said, so different types of things. Sometimes, so again, motivations in, motivations here. You have to daven shacharis, right? When it comes to taking on a chumra, like again, I'm gonna give a silly example, like wearing a gartel. Then maybe don't do it until your motivations are somewhat purified. On the other hand, maybe for you yourself, you know that wearing a gartel by davening is going to be like a reminder, and you make davening more serious, which will protect you from doing things you're actually not allowed to do by davening. So then maybe it's kedai, despite the fact that your motivations are not pure. So again, you have to know what the tachlis is, what the goal is at the end. The number one goal at the end is to be able to say that you fulfilled your obligations in Shulchan Aruch. That's your number one goal, right? Secondary goal is to do things l'shem shemayim. Right, so you just have to be mishar yourself. But the point is, it needs an investigation. Thoughts need, even the Yetzer Tov needs investigation. Again, sometimes it's mamish the Yetzer Hara hiding and disguising itself. But like I said, not always. Even if it's taka the Yetzer Tov, but it needs to be sifted. It needs to be worked through. You could have something that you could have flour to bake bread or something, and it's gevaldik. But it just, you know, but it's better if it's sifted, because maybe there'll be something that's not 100%, and it doesn't mean to throw the whole thing out. You have to investigate. So that's the Yetzer Hara. That's the Yetzer Tov. Umaisi Yetzer Hara, and certainly when it comes to something that seems to be more the voice of the Yetzer Hara, Tzarech Bavadei Chipus B'dika, that certainly needs investigation. Shloye by Aver V'Shem Mitzvah, that it shouldn't have any Aver to it. Now, it's a little bit funny. Like, if it's the voice of the Yetzer Hara, we need to investigate. It's the Yetzer Hara. The answer is, it's not, you know, let's say, you know, there could, one of the classic examples that the Kamarna uses, I'm saying this from the Kamarna's example, it's an example that he uses all the time, very often, is in his day, it was a very controversial thing of some tzaddikim, like davening way past the Zman, and things like that. You know, now it's already, you know, things, the dust has settled. But it was like a big, so he was, the Kamarna was very against that. He was very against that. He writes in a few places that big tzaddikim that do that, I'm not asking kashas on, but derech klal, like for the hamayinam, to say that I need to daven later after the zman because I have to make achanas. And I have to, so he, the Kamarna was very much, that's an example of like, you know, that's, the Kamarna would probably call that something that's coming from the Yetzer Hara, in other words, pushing off davening, right? But you're doing it for the right reasons, because you need to make more hachanas. Investigate that witness. Interrogate that witness very, very much. That's Because, you know, so in other words, two separate things. One voice is telling you to do something which technically seems to be a good thing, which just, like, in a vacuum, like, you know, wearing a garter, why not? And another voice is telling you to do something which in a vacuum is not a good thing, which is to daven later. Both are making cheshbonos of why it's the right thing to do. Investigate both. So you have to be chaykev or dairish, you have to investigate these witnesses. Then the Mishnah continues, v'havizar b'dvarach, and be careful with your words. So this is interesting. Again, I don't know, he gives an example. I'm not sure culturally where, like, what this was exactly. But he says, v'havizar b'dvarach, be careful with how you talk. In other words, melodaber ke'en. She'ain't stam b'ni other medaberim ke'en. I don't know exactly what he's referring to. Maybe someone listened to a recording. I don't know. But there was some sort of, like, sprach that, like, tzaddikim used to use, like a certain language that, like, very big Avdei Hashem used to use, maybe amongst their own little circles. And then all of a sudden, this guy wants to talk like that, and maybe talk like that outside of the inner circle. I don't know, he calls it with the word ken. I don't know, maybe they use the word b'china lat, I have no idea. But mildaber ken, to speak in this particular style or sprach that he calls the sprach of ken. Shane stop any other king. People don't talk like that. It's not the normal way of speaking. The Hainu, he says the next page, Hainu Balashin Chasidis, which is a language that that it doesn't mean Chasidish people. I mean Chasid, like Avdei Hashem like high levels of Avdei Hashem used to have a certain particular way of articulating themselves. Oy hachno neflamoid, or a language that's overly humble. Like, you know, it's one thing, you know, obviously you don't want to speak Gaivadik, and you want to speak humbly. But then there's hachna neflamoid, like very, very, very much. You're trying too hard, and then it's not only does it isolate you from it, but it indicates that there's maybe fakir. It's gaiva. The fact that it's so he says ki achar chipus. Certainly, after living a lifestyle of the first line of the mission, which is investigating every single witness that comes your way, you'll become humble, right? Because it means that you're constantly reinforcing this discipline of not trusting yourself. And even things that seem to be good, you're questioning your motivations. But the Yetzar is tricky. So even in that hachna that you're developing by questioning constantly and sifting through your motivations, the HR can use that humility against you by making you express that to other people who don't necessarily, are not familiar with that type of language and so on, and then they'll look at you as like, oh, you know, it'll backfire.
It's like the
Shiflo Shel Sheker. Yeah. It's Baal Pa'ar. That's in the Kamar. I've mentioned this before, that the Avodah Zarah Baal Pa'ar, right, which they would defecate. They would embarrass themselves. They would embarrass the Avodah Zarah in its surface. What type of Avodah Zarah is that? So in the Kamaran, he often associates that with Anava Psula, with the false humility. It's like, look at me, I'm so humble, right? So it's like, embarrassing oneself is that and now, that, like, being a god through your own embarrassment. That's Baal Pa'ar. And what Kamarno points this out, that the only, Chazal say that the one that's the opposes that is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is buried opposite Baal Pa'ar, because Moshe Rabbeinu means the true humility. And true humility is someone that obviously speaks humbly and is uncomfortable with COVID and things like that, but they say Hamaisa with, there was a certain chassid who was, again, you have to understand, there are certain, you have to know whatever the culture is, whatever is like normal, right? So in our world, I guess, then, you know, to walk, to go outside, put together a little bit, right? Other cultures, it's less expected to be like all put together. There was a chassid, I remember his name, there was a chassid, he would go around, he was a big kamechachim, and a big, he would go around with, like, dirty shirts and dirty clothes. So someone said to him, you know, the Gemara says, and you know that a kamechachim that goes b'ravav al bigdoy with a stain on his shirt, it's a chil Hashem. So he responded, ein ravav. It's one stain. If it's one stain, then it's a chal Hashem. But if it's cool like stain, then it's not a problem. So it's like there's certain, you know, it's a cultural thing also. But if a person is doing something that's against the culture that they're in, and it's just like an overly way, then a person has to be careful. You have to be careful with your words. That's what he says. Kishema, he touches the mission of the Kishema mitoicham, because from this exaggerated language of avoda, or an exaggerated language of humility, again outside of your inner circle of chapsid, when it's doing that way, then yilmadu ha'oilim l'shaker. Then first of all, others will just copy you without copying the pnimius that it's coming from. So they'll just copy the outside, and then what does that gain? It doesn't gain. And then for the person himself, it could be hakagaiva. If you're talking like that, in a way. Again, the particular example of this language that the chassidim used to use, I'm not sure what exactly that is. But I guess each person can figure it out. You want to be able to. A truly humble person is someone that obviously, you know, speaks humbly, but like sort of fits in, and like you don't want to stick out. You don't want to stick out because you're higher. You don't stick out because you're lower either. It's like, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, the first time he's met by other people, in Ish Mitzri, like he's an Egyptian, like he didn't stick out. That's if you're sticking out either because of, even with Hachno Yisera, or the language of like big Avodas, you know, it's also needs investigation. Vavei Native, understand this well. Ayin Divrei Emes. Take a look in the Sefer Divrei Emes. They quote. You have the bottom or no?
No.
I guess I'll read it to you. It's from the Sefer Divrei Emes from the Chayes of Ublin, but it's similar idea. Just the words are Yehi Nizam Reladaber Ken. Again, whatever this particular vernacular was that the big Avdei Hashem used to use. So the Chayes also warned to use this language. Again, amongst people that use it, that's fine. You don't stick out. But once you're outside of that, then you have to be careful how to articulate yourself. So he says, again, the same things as the Gemara said, because then you're either people will copy you, but it'll be chitzanistic, or they'll associate madrega, taking Yiddishkeit seriously, with something that's beyond what they're comfortable with. Either way, it'll backfire. Either they'll be makabel, just the superficial side of things, or they'll be intimidated by you, and then you won't be able to be mashbiya then. So either way, it's not going to work. And it's also taka, even for the person himself, kach shemati, that's what tzaddikim have received. Okay, that's a shame. That's why it's good to just be, balance. Chaver amongst chaver. Have a good day.